Well, we appreciate all of you that are here tonight and all of you that are watching and part of the service. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All the praise goes to God. Hallelujah. We appreciate all of you that are here, and we're here last Wednesday night. We always appreciate the awesome job that Brother Homer does, and we thank God for Miss Rosie for keeping him straight in life. Praise God. It just, miracles never cease. Yeah. So hallelujah. All the glory, all the glory. You know, every once in a while, and I don't know how to explain it, but I'll try. But I'll catch some kind of, I don't know if you call it a thermal in the spirit. It's one of those high moments. It's beyond human emotion. There's nothing wrong with good human emotion when you get excited about good things. But every once in a while, and I wish I could just stay in it longer, and I believe that the more I go in, I will, but every once in a while, I'll catch, I'll step into the realm of the Spirit to where that I can actually feel the euphoria of the outpouring and the bigness of it. And it's one thing to cheerlead yourself into something, but then when something supernatural takes you over for it's just a few seconds, but it feels like it's a, you know, it's hard to, when it's the dead of summer, to even talk about this Floridians. It's hard to imagine cooler weather. But you know, when you're, we don't have seasons down here so much, but when you have that first little nip in the air, say, oh, there's a change. Sometimes I get that nip in the air in the spirit. It's a change. It's an absolute. It feels, I'm like, God, take me over there and don't bring me back. Because it doesn't feel like anything. It feels different than this realm. It feels like, all I can tell you is the it's a hint. It's really, but I can tell you, we want it. My God, we want it. And I can tell you this, that it's bigger than what we supposed. It really is bigger than what we supposed. If we can hang in there, and I believe we will, if we can keep our ducks in a row in the spirit and not stop, then this region will receive something. This church, it's impossible for it not to grow expeditiously. And once it starts out, there'll be no stopping it. It'll be like an inertia, like some kind of avalanche. You won't be able to stop it. That's why we are sometimes, to some of you, we're preaching and asking and believing above our heads. Why do you need millions? I can tell you, we are going to need it desperately for the places of training, for training the multitudes. Hallelujah. So, Candy, can you pull that door just you can leave it open a little bit, maybe a quarter, three quarters closed. Hallelujah. Can make adjustments up here as we go. Thanks. Maybe a little bit on that one too. I know that he is getting closer to being able to get things done. One of the things that, you know, you can do certain things and you feel his pleasure in them. One of the things that I feel is pleasure in a whole lot is what we started doing on Sunday nights in the discipleship training. Now, what we're doing is taking somebody that don't know anything, and we're giving them lesson after lesson, and we're putting that in a format. See, here's the deal. Why have the harvest if we're going to lose everybody? 99%, well, I don't know what the percent, I would say way over half. 75% of people that come in, or you get born again, you're going to lose them, or you're either going to keep them or lose them in the first 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. If they can't put down roots in those first few weeks, if they can't find hope out of alcoholism, drug addiction, all of the things that have had them, if you can't begin to take the power of the new nature and show them how to overcome, the maturation or the maturing process is as important as getting them saved. You can feel good about getting them saved, but if you don't disciple them, there's a better than 50% chance, way better, you're just going to lose them. They're going to go right back out into the world. Sometimes you'll hang on to somebody personally and keep nudging them along. Sometimes people will catch hold, they'll feel that power of the new nature so strong. Now, you can argue the power of the new nature all you want to, but there's a message of discipleship that goes right along with it. If you don't give them the discipleship, you've crippled them from the get-go. So what we're doing, what the Holy Spirit finally, and it's grace, it really is grace, it's not me, but after all these years, we've started. And so this is going to make it real, by the grace of God, easy or easier, for once you get them, as sheep begat sheep, as you get them born again, you can immediately rest assured that you have something immediately to give them. And once you give them, here you go, take this. I don't know exactly what we're going to do. We're talking, what's the name of that? What do you call that little thing? QR code. You put a card with a QR code, and as soon as they hit that, it goes straight to the discipleship training. Now, we've already got 4 lessons. And we started out with what just happened to you, telling them what does it mean to be born again. We don't want to talk street. We don't want to talk religious to them. I'm doing my best not to talk like a preacher, but just teach. Just plain teach. We had what just happened to them, 1 and 2, and then the 3rd week we talked about the 3 things that if you're going to put down roots. Now, here's the things. You're going to lose them if these three things, if you don't get these 3 things started in them right away, if you don't pump this into them right away. First of all, we told them the power of the new nature. And we talked a little bit about new appetites. And so they start understanding there's a new appetite inside of them for do's and don'ts. We did a little bit of that on the first two. But the third one, we said, here's 3 important things, 3 most important things. You've got to get into the Bible. Now, we haven't taught the extended lesson on the Bible yet, or the Word, but we've every lesson we've told them how important it is. And we've already started them, telling them where to start. You've got to get into the Bible. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And 3, really, really important, you have to come to church. they have to start coming to church. If they don't come to church, either physically or online, you're going to lose them. You're going to lose them. Three things that the New Testament was church was built on: Word, which is doctrine; Spirit, Holy Ghost; and attending church. They continually got together. You can argue it all day long. People don't go to church. They're weak. Well, no, they're not. Well, if they weren't weak, they'd be in church. There's something wrong. If they're not watching or attending physically, and especially a newborn in Christ, they won't make it if they don't start coming to church. And so that outline, I had a friend, he's a doctor in Iowa, Gene, and he texted me this week, and he loved, I think we went 30-something minutes on Sunday night on who the Holy Spirit was. You can't teach a doctoral, don't confuse people with, sometimes you'll try to tell people too much, and they're like, and what? See, that's what church is for. This is the skeletal. If they'll start coming to church, you can put meat on. You can put all the doctrine on, and they'll keep growing. But to start with, all they need is just the nuts and bolts. So we taught the Holy Ghost, who he is. And then we went through that whole how to receive him. And then we did a practorium, or a practical application. We actually prayed and that people would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit right through the camera, and it was really anointed. And we explained how to do that. I believe with all my heart there are going to be hundreds, if not thousands, filled with the Spirit through that one video in the days ahead. So we're preparing for the future. If you don't prepare, and so if anybody, so all you have to do, now you have more to do, but I'm saying, how easy is it when we have 10 lessons and you just get somebody saved and say, here, take this. Now, start on this. Now, if they don't do it, you can't help that. People, you can't force somebody to do it. But if they really want to grow, and then you call them Monday and say, or the next day and say, did you go through lesson one? Yeah. Okay, let's go through. I'll call you after lesson two. We'll talk about it. But you don't even have to be the one to do all the doctrine and all the teaching. It's just so, praise God. No, did you listen to, you just take and just call them once a week. Did you listen to the lesson? And they, if you call them and ask them, they'll listen. We'll teach them how to meditate the Word of God. We're going to talk to them about, later on, we'll talk to them, at some point we'll talk to them about baptism and water, and we'll just give them a real strong foundation. All the good things. Hallelujah. Amen. So he is, not we, but he is preparing us for an absolute explosion. We're believing for a revival. What are you doing about it? Well, mainly you need to be fasting and praying. That's the main thing. But then out of fasting and praying, he'll start developing things like this. And he'll put this on our hearts, and he is. We want to talk about Mary versus Martha tonight. How about that? Is that okay? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you for everyone that is watching. Blessings and honor and glory to you and to you alone. There's no one like you. Lord, we thank you for all of these that are seated here and all those that are watching. Lord, these are really world changers. They're here. They made it tonight, and they made it through watching this lesson, or maybe they're tuning in 2 days from now. We really are yours. We're the, in that sense, the word, we're the tip of the spear. You're asking us to do something that hasn't been done in hundreds, if not thousands, of years, and that's to receive an outpouring. We really don't know how to do this, Father, in and of ourselves, but through Christ and through instruction, through your word, and then through prophecy and everything that you give us revelation knowledge-wise, we thank you, Lord, that we'll come to the place and receive this outpouring and pass it on to our kids if necessary, if you don't come back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We want to talk about Mary and Martha. And I hope to weave this into where we are at now as far as what our present tense instructions have been from the Lord and where we're going and where we're going as a church and where he's asked us to camp at right now and what he's asked us to do. I think the one thing I want to ask all of us is to try not to default to whatever present understanding you may have of Mary versus Martha. In other words, whatever you've heard before in the past, I'm not saying it's all wrong. I'm just saying that so oftentimes when somebody announces a title like that, you're thinking, I know where he's going. And you may know to some degree, but there's some of it you don't know, maybe not. So I'm asking you to just keep an open spirit, open mind, not to default to present understanding, whatever you may have. The present, usually the present understanding or the most general thought process of Mary versus Martha, if you've been around the church very long, sometimes people, you know, they just come into the kingdom, so they're like, I'm not sure what, you know, it's all new to them. But if you've been around and heard a lot of lessons on Mary versus Martha, or Mary and Martha, the two sisters of Bethany, you normally would think Mary the worshiper, Martha the worker. You know, Mary the worshiper, Martha the worker. So, so we're going to talk about both tonight and use them in a scenario, a created scenario. And I will say this in advance that you know, I really believe that poor Martha has been thrown under the bus a lot of times, backed up and backed over several times. Now, you have heard present prophecies, maybe, or words of exhortations from the Lord concerning his heart's desire for this house and other houses like ours, that his present desire for us is to be male and female, to be in a place of a Mary, and we'll explain through Scripture what that position is. And most of you already know, knowing the story already. So that is our present tense call, is to be a Mary, and I will explain for those of you that are watching more, and those that maybe not know, that there is a necessity for us to really stay in a place of prayer, in a place of watching, in a place of where we are continually in a place of prayer as much as possible, as much as possible. But we're also going to see some other things here tonight through this observation. Jesus, I will say this, was not coming against a personality when, and we'll see later when we talk about Mary and Martha. He wants us to come to a place, and this is what we've been hearing lately. He wants us, you and I, self-included, and all of you that are watching, to come to a place of full maturity in Christ, that the fruit of our life, that our tree, I love that song tonight. It was divinely ordained, although we do it quite often, but again, it was divinely ordained for tonight. So I do want to be like a tree planted whose roots go deep, because if I become a full-grown tree and I am a fruit-producing tree, then I am going to have full, mature fruit for this revival and in this revival. I'm going to be able to be one that is producing, and our encouragement to each other. That's been the message. Spiritual maturity is the message that we're hearing from all of our ministers. If you hear me, if you hear Homer, it may come, you may use different scriptures, like Jim, Martin, Gary Carpenter, Alan Taylor, any of the ministers, you'll see a thread running through the ministry, whether we even think about who or what someone else is saying. There's a real strong message of growing up. I'm not talking about a rebuking, just grow up, mature, get full grown. Gary's been doing some wonderful messages. If you've heard any of his, Jim has. I just listened to his on Sunday, his Sunday message. But Gary's been doing a lot of messages on Mark 4 and growing up and the seed coming to maturity and the tree growing up and of course answering a lot of questions. A lot of questions of why we haven't had revival up till this point, but we're headed towards revival. But we have just hitherto for have not been a full-grown, mature, fruit-producing yet tree ready to receive or perpetuate revival. And the sickle goes into the harvest, according to Mark 4, when the grain is fully matured, when it's fully matured. So I'm just preaching a little bit, just a snippet, just a tiny thumbprint of that whole message. But so what he's doing is he's growing us up. He's getting us ready. Old school, which never worked. I've never seen it worked. I've seen it work a little bit and people get excited, but they burn out, or it only goes so far. It's just get them saved. Here you go. Here's your badge. Hit the streets. There is a enough word on that to fool people if you don't give the entire word of God and you don't teach them everything concerning that goes into every, you know. Even when Jesus said, go ye into all the world, the same sit down when he was, I've proven it before, was the same time that he said right out of his mouth, go into Jerusalem and tarry and wait for the promise of the Father. In other words, don't do any of what I just said unless you're endued with power. And then there's a secondary part of that. There's the growing up as well. Now, that doesn't ever dismiss you from being at the right place at the right time and somebody saying, I need prayer. Well, good, I can pray for you. But to start a ministry, turn them on the streets before they're ready. So we could go on and on and on but about that. But let's go to Psalms chapter 1. We'll look at this tree just for a few moments before we go over to, I think we can tie it in to where we're headed for Mary and Martha. So go to Psalms chapter 1, Psalms or Palms, somebody that's Palms. You know, that's just right after Job. So okay. Job, okay, some of you get so. But we're going to look at this Psalms 1 for just a moment. And I love the Psalms. I've been in the Psalms a lot recently. This is a tree. This is that tree that we were singing about, but we're going to observe this tree as a supernatural tree. We're going to look at it as natural, but then more so in the supernatural setting that it's in, because I believe it's going to speak to us about where we're going. Again, let me reiterate. What is the message to the house, present tense? Maturity. Maturity, and it's set in stage of all of the instructions of prayer, intercession, staying in male or female. If we go to the blueprint prophecies, male or female, intercession, prayer, intimacy, staying in the presence of the Lord. And I think that'll identify with Mary in a little bit. But let's look at this tree. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, we understand that. Nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You guys could go into all kinds of stuff on that, the practicality of that. I've got where almost, I don't know, hate TV. I don't know. It's you just turn on it. It's just a mess. It's just a mess. But I'm certainly, even if I find something that I can watch, I'm certainly not going to find, I'm not going to watch anything that I, because that where I sit in the seat of the scornful. If I watch something that's out of order, I'm sitting in the seat of the scornful. I don't want to get off. Let me stay in order. I mean, stay in, on target here, Lord, or online. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he do what? Help me out. He meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And we've been talking a lot. You've been hearing a lot about fruit, season, maturity, growing up. Let's go into revival. His leaf also shall do what? It shall what? Not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's look just for a moment together at the word season. Now, because we're in the Old Testament, we're talking about a Hebrew word, and I'm not going to try to pronounce this Hebrew word. I'm just going to tell you, like Gary often says, in the Strong's, it's 6256. And this word season, in the Hebrew, it means time. It means come to a place of time. So you might also equivocate that to a place of maturity or a time where it's full grown. It's finally come up. It's finally come to its place of time. It's all also means now, when as in when it arrives or at a place of maturity. So there's that aspect of the word season. But it also is, if you go to the Strong's, you'll probably see this, and if you, especially if you have a app like eSword, and without, I mean, that's not going real deep, but you can see as soon as you pull up that, and it lets you know that that's a time, it comes to its place in time. It also will tell you that it is, that word has a root word that it comes from, and that root word is Strong's 5703, and I'll just happen to have that root word for you. And it means, these are the some of the expressions of its meaning. Now, this is the root. Again, you'll often have a Hebrew word, you'll get a meaning from it, but it'll say it's derived from this. In other words, you have to take all the nuances or the flavor from that to make up an understanding of the word that you're getting the definition from. So this root word here is by implications, or it means a duration in the sense of perpetual. It means you'll have these words in there, ever, eternal, ever, or everlasting, more, perpetually, world without end. So this is what we need to understand when we're looking at this word season here. And again, when it says he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, the word season means come to time or place of when it's developed. And secondly, as far as in root, it means perpetually. It means a continuation, or you might say a continuation of the same. So this is what I wrote. This is a paragraph to help us to understand this word a little bit more. What we are to understand from this verse is that we will not only come to the season of being full grown, but we will never not be producing fruit. Our fruit production will be continuous. Okay? So that's what you, that's the other thing that we have to understand in I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water who bringeth forth his fruit in his season. So we have to understand that our season is not just like the season of fruit-bearing trees. Because all fruit-bearing trees, even if they're full-grown and fully mature and can produce, they have a season. But this tree never has that kind of season. This tree produces fruit all the time, every time, every service, every day. Felt some glory on that one. Hallelujah. It has a perpetuation. And even if I didn't go to the Greek, the psalmist bears it out, its leaf also shall not wither. Fruit trees that go through seasonal changes, not only does fruit go away, but the leaf withers. So, in general, fruit trees. Now, the orange tree, that's a little different. But that doesn't take away. We go right back to the Word of God. The Hebrew says perpetual. Perpetual. In other words, it continues to perpetuate fruit all the time. Hallelujah. And we have an incredible prototype in front of us that verifies that. We look at Jesus. He was 33 and a half years old before he became a full-blown producing tree. But from that point on, he never did not produce fruit. Hallelujah. This is a supernatural tree, and we are supernatural beings. Every tree in the natural, as I said, even after it comes to maturity, I'm just reading my notes that I just exhorted, produces mature fruit, will have a season of no fruit. But we are trees that leaves do not wither. We do not go through seasonal changes as in fruit, as in having no fruit. Hallelujah. The only seasonal changes that, the closest seasonal changes that we go through is from glory to glory to glory to glory. Hallelujah. I see artists, I've heard preachers talk about, let me explain and help you with your life situation. We are like trees, and I've seen artist renditions, and they paint, and they'll have captions like, they'll have four different trees based on seasons. This is the spring of your life. This is the summer of your life. This is the fall. And this is the winter. We're all in different seasons. That's not what the Word teaches. It sounds good if you're needing some kind of, I'm just in a winter. Just think if they ever came to they never came to Jesus at any of his crusades and said, and he said, you should have caught me 2 months ago. I'm in the winter of, I don't know what it is. The fruit's dried up. The gifts have dried up. We are a tree that has a perpetual. The Hebrew bears out a perpetual season of producing. Now, you may go through a trial, but where we're headed is that people can come and eat fruit off of us continually, on a continual basis. Man, you came today. You need to go call Sarah. I heard she's walking in a real strong place right now. I was there 2 months ago. Man, all kind of stuff was happening, I'll tell you. And I must be slipping into a winter right now. I don't know what's going on. I'm having a tough time. You may be having a fight, but where we're headed is, see, that's the old gifts revival. That's the old gifts. Like, sometimes I got it, sometimes I don't. I'm dry as a bone now. Maybe somebody over there's got it, or maybe somebody over there's got it. Who's got it now? Who's in the summer of their life? Who's in the crop? Who's producing? You need to go have them lay hands. Oh, come on. Need to be slapped. No, we're coming to a place of maturity. The psalmist said, "Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever continually." That's a continual, perpetual state. A perpetual state. Hallelujah. So our calling again, I'll remind you presently, is to come away with him so that we become full-grown trees producing full-grown mature fruit. We are to come to a place where we never, ever do not have fully mature fruit. Everybody say never, ever. Never. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll read this for you. You don't have to turn there because we'll go to some other scripture in just a moment. 2 Timothy 4:1. Here's a confirmation in the New Testament. 4:1-2. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Well, maybe there's an out of season. Listen to what the Amplified says. I like the way that it exemplifies or gives further explanation. Herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcomed. You as a preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking, correcting, warning, urging, encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. Hallelujah. Praise God. Continuous, ongoing. Whether I feel like it, don't feel like it, it's to flow from me. I'll remind you that this season, as I said just a moment ago, is for everyone to consider themselves as intercessors, to come away with him. It's a time of purging, intercession, intimacy, to develop mature fruit. Now let's showcase Mary and Martha for a few moments so we can talk about where we're at, what our assignment is, and then where we're going. So turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. So we'll look at them, these two sisters, for just a moment. And as I said, you know, we've all taught on Mary and Martha, and we've had a lot of good teaching, and sometimes you'll get some teaching that's really unnecessary concerning Martha, but as far as intimacy goes, we understand some things, and we'll mention that as we read this. Verse 38, Luke 10:38 says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha," which are words really a very respectful, the way that he addressed her, "thou art careful and troubled about many things, But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. In other words, I'm not going to ask her to stop sitting here today at my feet. This is a season. This season is to give way to another season, which is called the outpouring and a subsequent revival that will charge this whole region. It is coming. It now is. Our anchor for this time is to stay in prayer. So our identification quite often has been this. Here's the storyline. Jesus comes into Martha's house. He's there. It looks like that he is ministering. He's very possibly teaching. Maybe he's just exhorting, talking. And Mary, one of the two sisters, finds a place close to Jesus to sit at his feet and just listen to every word, just soaking it in, soaking it in. The call from heaven has been this, that we come away with him. In other words, what he needs now more than anything else, by you big, strong men, by us, you know, guys, by you beautiful ladies, by everyone that's watching, is the predominant part of your spirituality or your spiritual life is to do as much as you can to stay in a place of prayer, to stay in a place of intimacy. It's not that you divorce yourself from any kind of works in the church. We won't even talk about the natural right now, but we can. What we've been talking about the last few weeks around here is distractions. And we've heard a million sermons on distractions, but he's taken us back again to distractions. To say, if I can ask anything of you, make yourself Mary's, especially at this time, for the purpose of birthing this. It's got to be birthed. How long is the duration? I don't know. Maybe it's another year. Maybe I'm praying that it's on us. It's any day. As Pastor Jim said, God knows the day and hour when all this is actually going to be poured out. And it's not a magical day or an hour like he picked it. It's a progression that we're going into. But I can tell you, things are going to change. And when they change, there is going to be a harvest like we've never seen before. We're fighting distractions. We're fighting everything possible. Now, what Jesus, he did not rebuke Martha. He corrected her a little bit. He did correct her. But what his correction was is that he turned her attention back to that good part or the good thing. And Mary had chosen the good thing or the best thing. Martha, for the most part, when we've heard messages in the past, and we can make identification with it now, is that she was wanting to work. She was wanting to do something good. She was wanting to fix a meal for the guest and for Jesus. Why wouldn't you want to fix a meal for Jesus? That's wonderful. That's a wonderful way. The only thing is, that wasn't the essence of the moment. The essence of the moment was to sit and receive from him, and then all other works from that point on. But what Jesus corrected her on was not that she had an intention to do something. He wasn't saying works are bad. He wasn't saying this is a bad intention that you had. He was correcting that she was missing the moment. She was missing the moment. And besides that, he was looking deeper into her life and said, Martha, Martha, you are cumbered about with care about many things. This meal's not the only thing that's got you upset. Because she's like, you need to get her in the kitchen with me. I'm asking you, doesn't it bother you? To sound like the disciples, like we're sinking in the ship. Don't you care that Jesus, don't you care that my sister's not doing anything? And he's like, Martha, honey, settle down. One, you're missing the moment. besides for that, this meal is not the only thing that's got you're cumbered about with many cares. You're under care, and you're fighting something beyond the present tense. So we get a little look into Martha and whatever she was going through besides for feeling the responsibility. So let's ask ourselves the question, well then what would have been the right thing? You know, what if Martha sits down? What if she's and Mary sitting there? Do you think Jesus is going to get up after he's teaching or preaching or ministry and say, somebody should have had my meal fixed? Not only that, if any his disciples or anybody in the room would have said, women are supposed to be in the kitchen, he'd have rebuked them big time. He'd have corrected anybody that tried to put a false responsibility on them. So there would have been no care at the end of that. And besides for that, my goodness. You know, if the man that went 40 days and 40 nights, he sure wasn't concerned about missing a lunch. And besides for that, if he'd have wanted to, he could have said, do y'all have any leftovers from supper last night? Because I can show you how to divide them all here in about 5 minutes. There's many different scenarios that have taken place. But he wasn't rebuking her or chastising her. He was just correcting for her own sake and saying, honey, look, Mary's chosen the best part. So our best part right now is what? To sit at his feet. Our best part right now is to go into intercession, blueprint prophecies, subsequent prophecies, anything else that our other wonderful teachers that we know and appreciate are teaching us about how to grow up, stay in that place of intimacy. But let's just talk for just a few moments about where we're going, because where we're going is not exactly where we've been before, and all of this is the dressing room to where we're going. Now, I will say this, and I will preface it. We'll never, ever be without being in his presence as a Mary. He always wants us, wherever we go in revival, to have a moment in our day or time in our life continually to sit at his feet. Because if you lose that, you lose everything. That's the essence of all life. But having said that, we're called presently to choose the better thing for the purpose of the future. The better thing now is for the purpose of the future. In other words, all this is for something else. The moment that we're called into now is, as I said, intimacy and not works. In other words, can I do that? Yes, let me check it out. Move out of his authority. I can do that. But if this is going to take away from prayer time or even doing anything in the church or for the church or whatever or for somebody else or anything that's spiritual, if I add that to my life, it's going to take away from my, don't do it right now. He may increase you later, and he says, okay, do that work. Do that ministry. Do that part. You'll have that part. But right now, the emphasis, the underscoring, the highlighter, God's taken his highlighter. He's highlighted in our hearts. Stay in prayer. If you're going to have a fault, let it be on the prayer side, you know, of whether it's not, you know, am I getting enough done, like stuff, okay? So, I'm reading my notes. I want to get down to where because some of it I've just exhorted. So let's talk about Mary. Let's talk about Mary as in past that moment. And for that, I'm going to create just a little scenario or a thought process inside of you. We love Mary. Jesus didn't love her above Martha. He just corrected the moment and said, okay, Martha, you're upset, but you're upset about a lot of stuff, but Mary's chosen the best. So Mary sits there, I guess, and I don't know what happens from that point, but let's just talk for just a moment. What if Mary, the worshiper, because we'll call her not indignantly, but really Mary the worshiper, what if Mary the worshiper, the one that is at Jesus' feet or at, you know, worshiping him, what if she continued to worship after he leaves? Okay? She spent that time, I don't know how long he stayed in their house, 2 or 3 hours, 4 or 5 hours. Let's say Mary the worshiper sits there after Jesus leaves the building. They used to say Elvis has left the building, but someone far greater than Elvis has left. Jesus has got to go. He's got stuff he's got to go do. Okay. And thinking if I should introduce this now or say something about it now or wait. Where we're headed is this. How can I say this? Because all you hear, not all you hear, but most of everything you hear from this pulpit, from me, is tied into time in prayer, intimacy, doing what he's called you to do, not trying to meet my mark, but doing what, stay in that place. You'll never hear anything different, but it's to take us to a place. You do know, and I'm saying this, I really do believe you know this, and those you're watching, you do know that Jesus, though he had an incredible prayer life, he also had to go do. There was no cars. There was no trains, planes, buses. He walked the whole country several times in that 3.5 years. And as he's doing that, there were days, probably several days, where there was no crusade. Now, what he got to a village, if he'd go in the village as the Father led him, he'd heal whoever came to him. But there were a lot of times where he's just walking and he's just sweating and there's nothing spiritual, but he's going to do the Father's will because the Father said, go down to Nain, go down to South Galilee, go wherever. Listen, Paul the Apostle, he had three, they call them three missionary journeys. He went into Asia Minor, Macedonia, literally thousands of miles in his life. Thousands of miles he went. Some was by ship when he got into the coast and he could sail down and part of the Mediterranean there. He could go by boat. But most all the time, and he didn't go by horse, he had to walk. So he walked thousands of miles on a command, a directive from God. What are you saying? I'm saying he wasn't in his prayer closet doing what the Lord... His prayer closet told him, go do. But there were days without number that Paul was walking in sweating, dirty, like dirt on him, sweaty, having to go do. Now, I know you know this. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, which we should pray, as Paul said, more than you all. We can't ever stop that. But you know what was for a purpose, right? It was for a purpose. It wasn't just so we could say we prayed 3 or 4 or 5 hours in prayer. It's for a purpose. It's to fill us, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And as a result of that power, you shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and the othermost part of the earth. Well, that doesn't mean you're necessarily an evangelist, all of us, but you have, you're walking in enough power that the gifts or all kinds of healing powers working out of you, and you're wherever you go in this revival, you'll be used by God. So the end result is not just the prayer closet. It's that's our season, and we'll always be in this season, in other words. But there, it graduates us to a place. Now, what if Martha? What if Martha just stays after Jesus leaves, and she keeps? What do you do, Mary? Martha? I mean, Mary. What if Mary just stays in there? Martha walks by the living room tomorrow, all day long. And then the next day, all day long. And then the next day, all day long. What are you doing? I'm just sitting at the feet of Jesus. Well, he's gone, and he went to do something. Now, I know in our application, he was on the earth. Now he's every, I mean, he was just one place then. Now he's everywhere. So you can spend your time any place and spend all the time you want. But you've got to catch the understanding of, and as I go a little bit longer, I believe that you will if you're not already understanding. What if Mary sits the next day, all day long, and the next day? What if Mary becomes a, now I'm taking this out of the personal application of just sitting at the feet of Jesus and worshiping. Now, Mary didn't. We don't have any record of any of the things that I'm saying. I'm just creating a scenario here. What if Mary becomes a conference chaser, a professional conference chaser? In other words, and Jesus did have women that, you know, followed him. I understand that. But what if she just goes from one conference to the next, that's all she ever does, or one meeting that he has to the next. Her whole schedule is, I just got to be in the next meeting. Well, I'd want to be in Jesus meetings, that's for sure. But I get to be in a Jesus meeting every day, and it's called private worship and meditation of the Word. If Mary would have been a conference chaser, like many people are, or Christians have become in the last days, they trade off an intimacy for an event or those kinds of things. Let's say this: Jesus had an assignment from the Father. He would have been going about and accomplishing his assignment, but would Mary be accomplishing her assignment by just going to wherever Jesus was every day? Well, somebody said, yeah, she sure would, because she would be sitting at the feet of Jesus. But wait a minute. Wait just a minute. What are we called for? We are salt. We are light. He called himself in John the light of the world. But then in Matthew chapter 5, he said, you're the light of the world. Don't get out of the workforce. Don't get out of being salt. I need salt there. I need light there. Is this making any sense? Mary's is, we're all as Mary's called, in this sense, the word, to stay at the feet of Jesus. We're always called to sit at his feet. But why, as I said, was the Holy Ghost given? The primary purpose was to give us power to go. Don't go right now, in that sense of the word. Our season is stay in prayer to full-blown maturity. But where's he? What is he doing? What's he preparing us for? What's this season for? Now, let me just talk for just a moment in great respect. Great, great, great respect for people that resign to all-day prayer every day, and that's all they do, okay, with great respect. Now, I will say this, the fivefold ministry, the primary purpose of their ministry, we find in the book of Acts, right to start with, the apostle says, as for us, we will give ourselves to prayer and the word of God. Now, I don't know about your, I hope you're watching me because I'm your pastor or I'm under the recommendation of your pastor, in that sense of the word. But if a man of God, if he's not doing that, he needs to go back into a secular job. If he's not praying, and if his number one priority on a daily basis is not praying and in the Word of God, then he should go back in. Even if he thinks he's called, if he's not doing those things, he's not doing the work of the ministry. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And then we could do other stuff as well. What I want you to see also concerning Martha is he was not rebuking her personality or her want to take care of the moment. It's very possible because everybody has, you have at least two calls in ministry in the eight operations. One, all of us are called to the ministry of diversity of tongues. All of us. All of us are called to that. Then you have one other call. What is mine, Pastor? I don't know. You'll have to find out that yourself through prayer. But everybody here has one other call, at least. Some of you are, some of you may be in the fivefold. Some of you may be in the ministry of helps, called to that, which is making money for the supply of this revival. Some of you may be in governments. It's possible that just out of the disposition of Martha, her personality, a lot of times, I don't want to equivocate this. I don't want to say a personality dictates by no means the gift. The gift dictates the person. So you can't take a test and say, okay, this is my strong qualities. But it is possible, also on the other hand, that Martha had part of her future gift. She's not yet born again or spirit-filled, but maybe she is an organizer. Maybe she is an upfront person. Now, she's going to have to always maintain a Mary worship in her life, but maybe Martha's got that calling on her life to do those kinds of things. If a man or a woman that is called to the ministry, if they're not praying in the Word, then they're not. They need to either repent and start doing that, or just find a secular job. And I'm not saying that disrespectfully, but for people that sometimes people, you know, they get to a place and they're at retirement age. They don't have to work a job anymore, and so they want to spend their day predominantly in prayer. That's absolutely wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. Sometimes people will that come into this call, they see this and they say, man, I just feel like there's a season in my life. I need to spend some time not doing anything else. And if they can afford it, I mean, that's between them and the Lord. If they can afford it financially and they're not taking care of any of their responsibilities as a family, a member, as supporting the family, if they can afford it, and they just feel like that's what I'd like to do is to take a season and pray, not work a secular job, I'd say praise God. I believe people absolutely can hear that. But let's talk about overall what God's desire is that he's not calling the church to become fivefold ministers and spend their day all the time, the whole day in prayer. Listen, if you're not called to the fivefold and you try to do the work of, you say, I want to be fivefold and I'm going to go into prayer and I'm just going to spend my day in prayer all day long and that's all, I'm not going to work a secular job. if that's not your call, you are digressing to a lesser call. You're trying to fulfill fivefold apostle, pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet. Those are beneath. If you're trying to do those and you're not called to do it, that's beneath you. You're digressing. Because every call is equal in value. Absolutely equal in value. Pastor Dave used to talk about, my God, the man that would make, or the woman that would make the money that would fund revivals and then have be dead enough to turn it over. They have to be as dead as the fivefold. So seasons will come, and sometimes people will say, I want to resign to a place of prayer, for I want to take off my job. That's fine. I believe people have heard that from the Lord. I'm talking to the and have done that, and God's blessed it. But let me talk about the general populace of the church, and even people that take off seasons and don't work for a while. This is what Matthew 5:13 says, and I don't believe there's any argument about this. This is just truth that we need to go over. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You're the light of the world. Who's the light of the world? Who? We are. Now, there is one place in John where he says, I'm the light of the world. But Jesus turns right around here in the Sermon on the Mount and says, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You're the light. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. In verse 13, again, he said, you're the salt. Listen, if you try to fulfill a fivefold and you're not called to that, it's not God doesn't slap you. It's like, why are you taking a lesser calling? Why have I got you sitting at my feet? I've got you sitting at my feet so you can be out there being salt and being light, making money or doing whatever you're doing with it, a bunch of sinners. Well, God, I just want to spend my whole day, every day. Well, there may be a season for that, for some. But listen, for 90% of the church that never gets that opportunity. And even when he does that for some, he's gonna say, okay, that season's over. Get back in the workforce, because I need you out there banging nails beside the guy that's going GD, 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 FF, FGD, and you're just like salt and light. Or, you know, doing whatever these guys do, professional stuff. I don't need to hear that. Oh, my God. You sitting at the feet ought to be able to sit and hear. You know, you can guard yourself against as much as possible, but you don't have to, oh God, I heard all that raunchy, nasty, you said all those nasty things. We're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be penetrating their light. If this gospel be hid, it's hid to those who the God of this world have blinded the minds of them that they have not been able to see. He's not wanting to get us to become Marys to take us all out of the workforce. He's wanting to send us back into the workforce. Hallelujah. Pastor, I'd just like to have your job, pray all day. And then, listen, I'll tell you this. Even when you have the opportunity, you think your flesh, if you don't guard it, it'll find everything. You could have Now, I'm probably about the busiest I've ever been in my life right now. But if even at times when I'm not been, you can figure out stuff to do. You can always figure out stuff to do. Right? You can figure out stuff to do. Let's look at these girls one more time in another place, John chapter 11. They were showcased in Luke, and Mary had her day in Luke. Let's give Martha a little credit here in John. Because there are two places where these girls get showcased, and this one is in John chapter 11 at the death of their brother, Lazarus. Verse 1 of chapter 11, John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Remember them earlier? And it was Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, and whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters, that's both of them, sent unto him Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. Listen, there's no sickness to the glory of God. The only sickness that ever is any glory is the sickness that gets healed. Okay. And Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same places out of town where he was. And there's a great teaching on that about leadership of the Holy Spirit not being caught in the moment or a trap. Then after that he saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and that's it. So the Holy Spirit has him there for a while and for that purpose. And goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. So he's in essence there, without going into a lot, he's talking about the light of the direction of the Holy Spirit and walking in the light of the Father and the directives of the Lord. And so that's what Jesus was doing even in his absence from Bethany and from Lazarus. These things said he, after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. And then Jesus said unto him, them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. And when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. That's not far. It's very close measurement of distance. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary sat still in the house. Okay, so there, we still get a diversification between their personalities. We see this. Martha's corrected about her too much care, but she's an upfront person. She's an upfront, and so they hear Jesus is coming, and immediately Martha goes to meet him. Mary's still sitting at the feet of Jesus. Glory to God. No, now she's crying about her brother. Then said Martha, Then, verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But look at this. Now watch this. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not throwing Mary under the bus now, but it's Martha that comes out and makes the great affirmation. You should have been here, but I'm telling you, I believe that even now you can do something about it. You go, Martha. Where's Mary? Somebody got to get out there and make the affirmation. She goes straight out there to the gravesite, right there with Jesus. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saying to her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, that's an honest question. I mean, that's a statement, but she's asking a question like, are you talking about now or then? Well, I can believe you can do it now, but are you saying he'll rise again? What? Which one? That's honest. Which could you clarify? Hallelujah. They're having a mature conversation. Where's Mary? I don't know. Mary's over there somewhere. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is, at some point, the Mary that he's asking us to be right now is going to get out there on the front lines in a Martha position and take this fight to the forefront and take this to the gravesites. And take this to the impossible situations. Glory to God. Are you seeing Martha a little different now? And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection, the life, and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she saith unto him, well, this is a mature. This conversation didn't go on between him and Mary. They're having a dialogue here that's deep, real deep. And it started out with her affirmation by saying, I believe you can do it now. Glory to God. This woman's got character. She had some care that day. But you can't take away the character that she's having in this dialogue with Jesus. It's incredible dialogue. Where's Mary? Somebody call Mary. Praise God. It's good. Hallelujah. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yes, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. My God. She's just said the same thing that he complimented Peter about. You go, Martha. You go, big sister. Here you are, you and Jesus are having a very mature dialogue concerning supernatural things, and you have not only said that you believe that he can raise the dead, you believe that he is the Christ. Hallelujah. My God. My God, Martha. Glory to God. Yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said, she went her way and called Mary. Mary, honey, me and Jesus have had church out there. Did you want to come? Glory to God. She called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard it, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And the Jews went, the Jews then which were with her in the house, comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth into the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. There she goes. She loves to be at the feet of Jesus, doesn't she? She's a sweet lady, saying, "Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died." And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came, he groaned in spirit and was troubled. When it says he's groaned, this is intercession. Jesus is going into spiritual intercession. His spirit is groaning. He at the Last Supper, it talks about his spirit was groaning, or his spirit was moved. And so this is another example right here where Jesus, we would say that we went into intercession, but Jesus was into this intercession when it says that he was groaning. So he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" And Jesus therefore again groaning, he's in deep intercession in himself, cometh to the grave. And it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." And Jesus said unto her, "Said I not to thee?" He reminded her that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. This is incredible. It's incredible dialogue these had. You know, those are personal things that you'll carry, you'll never forget, that you and Jesus had something. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was. And Jesus lifted his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Hallelujah. Amen. Well, where are we at? If anything epitomizes the understanding of Mary being at a place of worship and staying in there and not going into care, that's where we're at. But there better be something inside of us that also says, not the careful part of Martha, not the part that says, "I'm going to be cumbered with care and distraction," but what we see from her as in a forward position, all of everything that we're doing now is in a transition for revival. So we'll always be at his feet, but there's something bigger. Sometimes we don't. There's something bigger in God's heart than just the prayer room. It's the harvest. It's those people coming in here and harvesting them, and all of our tongues, all of our worship, all of our merry times are to become a Martha in the sense of, we're going to the graveside, we're going to go meet Jesus where he's at, and we're going to pull these people out of where they're at, out of the grave. Hallelujah. Amen.